What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Man, welcome back. This is Landing on the Plains, and I am your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we got a special one, man. It's going to be a good one because today we got a special guest, my guy, one of the great players to come through Auburn, one of the guys that I was watching when I was getting recruited coming to Auburn. So definitely looked up to him, you know, while he was playing, ended up going on to play in the NFL, you know, and just an all-around great dude, man, none other than Joshua Hosley. What's going on, brother?
My brother, I appreciate you having me, man. How you doing?
And I can't complain. I appreciate you coming on, dog.
Come on, man. Anything for you, man. You know how it go, bro.
Sure, let's get straight into it, man. So, obviously, man, you're a big time recruit coming out of, you know, Atlanta, Creekside High School, right? If I'm not mistaken. So, kind of what kind of led you to, you know, choosing a school like Auburn? Like, what was it about Auburn that made you end up at Auburn University?
Man, be honest, bro. Coming through recruiting, bro, it was crazy, especially back then, bro. Like, I blew up so fast, and everybody was talking so well, and you go on visits, and everybody looks good. The facilities look good. It's like everything is so top-notch, bro. But one thing that stood out with Auburn, bro, that if you ask anybody who go there, bro, it's that family mentality that they preach, bro. And I had Coach Trooper Taylor, bro, and I still look up to him to this day and talk to him this day, bro. He did a great job of making me feel very wanted at Auburn, and I understood that I can come there. And my big goal is that I did want to play early. Not there's nothing wrong with redshirting or anything, but my big goal was coming in and I wanted to play and be an impact. And Coach Trooper Taylor and Coach Lolly, man, those guys did one hell of a job selling me to get my butt to Auburn, bro. And again, to this day, it was still one of the best decisions I made, bro. And again, that family mentality when I went down there and the love the guy showed me, bro, it couldn't beat it, bro. So it was a no-brainer for me. I can't even lie.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel you on that. And I'm glad you said that too, because that was my next thing I was going to get into, man. Because you, as soon as you touched down on campus, dog, you playing. So it's like, was that kind of conversation you had previously, or was it kind of like you got on campus, you know, you just put your head down and work, and then like, it was kind of undeniable to where it's like, yo, we got to get Josh on the field.
It was one of those things, bro. Because again, when I came in, man, my DC coach, Van Gorder, bro, I tip my hats off to him to this day still, bro, because he was one of those guys that just came from the NFL, and he didn't give a damn if you was a freshman or a senior. If you can play, you was going to play. So when I got in, man, my OGs, Chris Davis, Whitehead, T-Bell, man, those guys kind of showed me the ropes, bro. And by game four, bro, I was starting, and then I was doing a little nickel coming in game, like 3-4, and then I started the rest of the year after that, bro. It was, again, just hard work, bro. I went in just, again, I wanted to play early, bro, and I knew I could. And again, we had, with college, bro, just like the league, anything, if once opportunity presents itself, you just got to take advantage of it, bro. So I took advantage of my opportunity, the LSU game, man, and I ran with it, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, even when I was getting recruited around like that 2015 time period, 2014, 2015, Auburn started to come on my radar. And so, when I started stepping on campus, like, one thing I noticed was, like, you know, y'all boys had a, you know, tight knit group and y'all was close with each other. Y'all had a nice little culture going on. And so, even though it was some up and down years as far as like wins went, y'all was tough and y'all was tight. And so, like, talk about that culture, because, like, there's one dude in particular, I remember, like a dude, Devro Lawrence.
Oh, come on, Devro. Yeah.
I had dudes like that on the squad. So it was like, talk about that accountability type of aspect of it, to where it's like, it's not like that no more nowadays, but it's like, folks in line. So, like, kind of talk about what that was like.
Bro, because it was big again. So back in the day, bro, you know how it was. It wasn't no transferring in and out, bro. The most new faces we would see would probably be JUCO guys that would come in. So bro, we, again, from my group, from my class especially, bro, my freshman year, we went 3-9, you know what I mean, to the next year going to the Natty. And that was just basically all of, like, bro, no matter what coach is in here, bro, we not tight as a group. You know what I mean? Like, it's never going to work on the field. You know what I mean? So just off the field, that off the field bond, like doing things with your group, doing things with other position groups, man, just going out, hanging out, trying to just be tighter off the field, I think it really helped us on the field as well. And we just kind of, we had one of those locker rooms where, bro, like, we can hold everybody accountable, bro, and when nobody catch a little a fit, when nobody be, oh, they talking down, like, everybody knew, like, we just trying to get to the same goal. We're trying to get all that. Yeah, no attitudes, was no egos, you feel me, bro? I think that was the biggest thing about, like that locker room we had, bro. No matter who spoke up, like, everybody listened, because we all kind of had that same mentality trying to get Auburn to what we felt they need to be. And I think that was the biggest thing. Because, like you say, see how my face lit up with Devereaux, bro. Devereaux was a – bro, yeah. That was a good dude, man. You know me as a DB. I messed with the D-line, man, and that boy was strong as an ox. But he was a great – but off the field, bro, he's a great dude. You know what I mean? And sometimes you don't really get to understand some of your teammates because, I mean, life go fast, ball happens, bro. But when you get to kind of hone in and kind of – understand who people is, bro. But we have some really good dudes on our team, bro, and it's a great bond. And like I said, it translates from off the field to on the field, bro. And like I said, we didn't always, you know, we didn't get back to the natty, but we did have some successful years. And I think that was the best thing about it, just that bond that we had, bro.
Oh yeah, and you can tell, like, when teams have that, and like, it's contagious and it's crazy. Yeah. Because it's like, when I'm getting recruited, bro, I'm in the offices with the coaches and stuff. Devereaux come up there. I'm like, yo, this what they look like, homie?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be coming over here with these folk like this, dog. I don't know if I'm supposed to be over there, dog.
Devereaux was caught strong, bro. It was crazy, bro. Devereaux was crazy strong, bro. It made no sense how big Devereaux was, bro. We had a good program, like I said, but that was the kind of bond we had. Like, middle of the day, we just go pull up with the coaches, you know what I mean? Like, we had some good coaches that came through, bro, and they made it, like, acceptable to just come up and hang out, like, without feeling, like, tense coming into the office. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was big to have as well. That kind of helps you. That helps your chemistry with your team, like, being able to relate with your coaches. So I think the recruits see that, like, oh, dang, they just pulling up. Like, y'all ain't got practice. Y'all ain't got nothing today. They just up here just hanging out. Like, yeah, that's how I go. You know what I mean? So,
I just want to transition a little bit to the defensive side of the ball. Cause,
talk to me.
You know, at your time at Auburn, you had to play for about three defensive coordinators, bro. You know,
sure.
Three coordinators. So it's like, yeah, that adaptability for you was there. You know, the ability to adjust on the fly was there. You played multiple positions, whether it was safety, sure, corner, nickel.
Yeah. So
what was that like playing in those kind of schemes? Like, for, you know, and particularly Muschamp and Coach Steele. Like,
oh, man, it was. So, like I said, bro, I tell everybody off the rip, bro, I tip my hat to Coach Van Gorder, bro, just because Van Gorder taught you. So people look at you having a lot of different DCs and position coaches as a bad thing. It can be, but if you look at it in another aspect of, like, I'm going to learn something new from everybody. You know what I mean? So I'm going to take bits and pieces of what I like from him, and put it together. So, again, to start with Van Gorder, man, again, I love Van Gorder to death, bro. Like, he literally taught me, like, football, X's and O's, teams cross the 50, what to look for. We put this on tape, like, what's going to happen. Like, he kind of got that. He instilled that into me to, like, understand football knowledge. You know what I mean? Understand the game more than just walking out there going to play. Then I had Coach Johnson. He came from South Carolina for 2 years. We had some up and downs in that defense. And then, again, I tell everybody this to this day, too. Coach Muschamp came in and changed the culture, bro. Like,
yeah,
what he instilled in our defense, bro, I think that kind of pushed us through them next couple years with that 1 year of him being there, of, like, how we just approach the game and how we attack as a defense. I think was beautiful. And again, like, their defensive terminology is well known worldwide. So again, after having Muschamp and then getting a players coach like Coach Steele to come in and kind of want to know what we like to do as players, after having Muschamp and putting that Muschamp mentality with Coach Steele, bro, I think was just a gem, bro. Like I said, Coach Steele walked in and he didn't have to do a lot of cussing and fussing, because as players, we did most of that for him. And his defense was so player friendly, bro. Like, it wasn't hard to learn, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, he would still. It was more so, I want to do things that your guys are comfortable with, so we can play fast. You know what I'm saying? Muschamp was more so, you're gonna learn and do it my way, Which is good though, because you need that as well though. Like I said, that helped us transition to Coach Steele too though, you feel me? Because Steele had some things that was mandatory that we learned from Muschamp, but like I said, they all under that same umbrella. So once we got the Muschamp, everybody else was kind of like the same umbrella, you know, it's just a tad bit different terminology here and there. But it again, man, Muschamp came in and I'm talking about in a year's frame, bro. He turned that defensive room around, bro, and it was much needed, bro.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, your teams that you was on, like the 2015, 2016 kind of little time period transition, the way Auburn defense was played,
Yeah.
has been played for the past decade. So, like, I feel like
Back.
it's on track ever since, you know,
Yeah.
so, yeah, that was big time.
For
And,
sure.
you know, winding down to our time at Auburn, or your time at Auburn, rather, just, you know, you went through a lot of adversity, too, you know.
Yeah,
So, you
yeah.
know, two separate ACL tears, man. So, kind of just talk about what that was like, you know, kind of riding that roller coaster, you know,
Yeah.
going rehab, getting back, and then boom, tear it again. So, kind of just talk about what you was going through, how you was feeling, and who kind of helped you know, stay positive.
Yeah, bro. I ain't gonna lie, bro. Those were just, man, they was those were some times that you never forget about, bro. Like I wouldn't wish an ACL for nobody, bro. And it's so unfortunate, bro. My very first ACL again, I tore 2013, the famous year of Auburn history, bro. Which still makes me so sad. I tore it the Thursday before we went to go to Texas A&M, bro. I was crushed, like, cause that was literally like my very first like injury. Like, you know, you got like high ankle sprains, and that was literally like my first injury, bro. And I still remember to this day. I walked off the field, walked to the dorm, walked to the MRI. Literally, once they told me I tore it, bro, like I couldn't even put pressure on my leg, nothing, bro. And it was heartbreaking, bro. And like I said, bro, my roommate, bro, TJ Davis, I think that's probably why we're as close as we is today. But just because he literally had to be hand in hand with me, man. All my teammates were so appreciative and coming and praying for me. Jeff Whitaker, bro, we had some real good guys, bro, who came and checked in on me, bro, because I was in a real down state, bro, just because I thought I was coming into myself that year. I had moved to safety. I had just started playing a little better. I had a big role that week, and to tear my ACL that Thursday. The play before the last play before freaking the field goal of Thursday practice was heartbreaking, bro, for me.
Man, it's still Friday night, but the little walk through, you done
I'm
for the
literally, bro, helmets, bro. It literally was just incidental contact, bro. Just a little out route and kind of got tangled up and, you know, freak accident how it happened, bro. And again, like I said, it was again my guys that was close to me, man. They did a good job of kind of pulling me up out of that hole. And of course, like my family supporters too, like my mom and pops. Like they was really there and big for me. And then grinding to get back, bro, that year of 2015, I end up re-tearing it again the second game of the season playing Jacksonville State, on the freaking literally I it's so crazy because I the only reason I was able to play that game is because T-Rob, like, I had a brace. I had hurt myself in camp, fall camp, and I didn't play the first game. We played Louisville in the Dome. Because I kind of had hyperextended my knee. So I think that kind of just rolled over to that next game. And I played in a brace. And coach was like, I can't put you at corner with that knee brace. But you practice good. I let you play nickel. And literally, fourth play of the game, it popped again, bro, which was devastating to me because I worked so hard, bro. I didn't have a spring break. I didn't have, like, I literally lived in the training room. I think me and Dave down there in Auburn, bro, we used to bump heads so much because I was in there so bad. Like, we were just tired of each other. Yeah, come on, everybody know Big Dave, man. Dave was sick of me. And, bro, like I said, I was in there every day, every chance I got, bro. I ain't have spring break. I didn't really get to have fun because I really wanted to get back to play. So that second ACL kind of was a bummer, bro. It was tough, bro. Like if you ask Miles on after that, after the second one, bro, I actually went up to Miles on office. I told him I don't think I want to play no more.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, cause I was like, man, I want to be able to do things when I get older. You know what I mean? I want to be able to hang my hat, like play with my kids, run around. Like, I'm like, man, it's tough. You know what I mean? Going on the second one, and then again, I tell again everybody. Coach T-Rob, man, he coaches over at Georgia, now DB coach, man. I love the guy to death, bro. He literally sat me down and had a conversation with me. It's like, Josh, walking away from the game is probably, that's probably like the top three hardest things you'll ever have to do in life, no matter when that time come. But walking away from it is very hard. And he was like, if you feel like you got anything left in the tank, bro, he was like, I think you should give it another try. So again, I was like, you know what? Why not? You know what I mean? Again, all my dogs was playing. So I was literally bored too. And I quit for only like a month, 2 months. But yeah. I was so bored because all my homies play ball. So I'd be in the room, they at practice, they gone. You tell me, I don't got nobody talks. I was super bored, bro. And I was like, you know what, bro? I told T-Rod was like, bro, just give it a chance. Like, you know, like just give it all you got. If you know, if it work, it work. If it don't, but don't walk away and don't say you didn't try. And again, that was probably, again, I remember it vividly, the sit down that we had in his office. And again, every time I talk to him, I tell him that, bro, him and Muschamp, bro, those, like I said, those two were really big. And I think I was going to have a really big year under those two. And I'm really mad that I didn't get to play for them because of again, the second injury, bro. And it was tough. But like I said, that second one was just real big on, again, my roommates, TJ, Ricardo, Lewis, bro, all those guys that held me tight, bro. Again, my moms and my pops, bro. Like, that family support is so needed during those times. I don't think people understand what athletes go through when they get injured, bro. Like, your mom plays so many tricks on you, bro. So to have a good support system around you and to have a good group of guys and DBs and coaches who actually care about you, bro, I think is big. And I think that helped me tremendously get back from my second ACL, bro. So again, those two were, like I said, they were real big, bro. And like I said, I remember everybody and everybody who played a part of it, of me getting back, bro. And like I said, that second one, if it wasn't for T-Rod, bro, I wouldn't even try to come back.
Yeah, and that's, you know, real. That's love, too, though. And that's kind of I really realized, too, and like the kind of stuff like that go on behind the scenes, bro. Like, you need good people in your corner, good coaches, good teammates. That's important, bro. And so you ended up coming back, you know, 2016, you ended up having a good year. Yeah, so you go, you know, through the pre-draft process and end up, you know, getting drafted in the late rounds and, you know, having an NFL career. So kind of just talk to me about what that was like, you know, through all of this adversity, bro, and now, boom, you in the league. So, like, is it what you thought it would be, or is it something completely different?
Bro, it was actually kind of it was different, bro, because, again, to be honest, like I said, coming back from the second ACL, bro, I didn't have no expectations of getting drafted, bro. In my mind, like, corner, two ACLs, I don't have a chance in hell. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have a chance in hell, bro. But literally that 2015 year, bro, this is no lie, bro. Carlton Davis, Javaris, Jamel Dean, bro, I'm watching. I'm like, bro, I just want to play with these boys. They nice. Like, they came in, bro. That clap, bro, they came in so ready, bro. Like, I've never seen freshman sophomore come in, how they came in, bro. Them boys came in, like, locked and loaded. And to watch how Carlton play, I'm like, man, I got to play beside Carlton, bro. Like, so literally, I played so carefree my senior year, bro. It's just things fell in my lap, bro. I played some good ball. And then getting to the league, it was just, like I said, it was different. But I was so ready for it because I had been through so much adversity. So going into the Redskins as a 7th-round draft pick, they didn't expect me to make the team. I don't think they had high expectations, but again, I went into camp with, it's either do or die for me. You know what I mean? Like, again, I've been playing so much free ball. It was like, shit, I can't stop at this point. You know what I mean? So getting into the league, I'm like, this is easy. I've been playing carefree and making plays for the last year and a half. I'm like, that's all I need. You know what I mean? So again, with me, how I look about ball is like, if I'm healthy, no matter who's next to me, I don't feel like anybody's better. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody should have that type of mentality. If I'm healthy and I can be on the field, nobody, if we got to compete, that's one thing about Auburn. You don't have no choice but to compete. Different DC every year. You got to make your name every year. So getting to the league, it was like, there's a guy, everybody trying to feed their family. So I got to eat. You know what I mean? I got to compete. And it, like I said, I had a great group of guys up in D.C. as well, man. DJ Swearinger, DeAngelo Hall, Josh Norman, DJ Swearinger, freaking Kaha Clint Dix. I
had the vets.
I had vets, bro. I had vets that took care of Kendall Fuller. Again, I understood how to be a pro watching Kendall being behind him, bro. My freshman year, like my rookie year, had I been anywhere else, I probably would have played early, bro. But Kendall was all pro that year at the nickel, bro. And again, I was behind him, and he was just really that good. You know what I mean? And I think I helped him be a little bit with that, with how I came in. Because again, I came in pushing. Training camp, the preseason games, I was working, bro. But Kendall was really just that good. So I learned how to be a pro from him. And again, you learn that it's a business when you get there. You see all the guys coming in and out the locker room. You know how it goes, bro. It's
dumb.
It's crazy. It's like
I figured out real early, man. My rookie year, I started out in Arizona, bro. And bro, I always tell people this story when I realized it was real, because you know, we used to go to the stadium for walkthroughs. So like, and we used to practice in the same place. So like, we have practice in the morning, then we come back in the afternoon for walkthroughs. So we went through practice in the morning. You know, we do our little stuff in the middle of the day. We coming back for walkthroughs, and they got the same locker but a different jersey number and a different name. So it's like, already there for walkthroughs. So it's like, by the time we had between practice and the walkthrough, they already flew Buddy in, got him
worked out.
We got his cleats, he got his helmet, he got everything, dog. I'm like, bro, Buddy was here 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
What we about to eat for lunch, and now he gone.
Fast. I'm talking about, I seen somebody get signed one day, get cut the very next day. Signed, practice, cut. Like, it happens so, it's fast, bro. It's fast. Like, and you, like, it's like I said, it's a business. You know what I mean? It's like, you might not even play bad or did anything wrong. It's just
numbers.
They might need some more DB. They might need some more O-line. They might need a tight end. Like, it's just, it's a business, bro. And people don't understand that till you get into it and see that too. So it's tough, boy. It's dang tough out there.
So just kind of, you know, life after football, man. What's been going on? Kind of talk to us about what you've been into, what you've been got. You know, what you passionate about, you know,
what's going on? So, like, bro, it's that's been an ongoing thing too, trying to figure out how you like to navigate once you get done playing ball, figuring out who you is outside that helmet, man, without that play sheet, bro. It gets real a little bit, you know what I mean? So I've been doing a lot of training, bro. I do a lot of I did some couple of things, other things, bro, but I do a lot of DB training here in Georgia, bro. I got some of the top kids in Georgia that train with me. I love giving back to the kids, bro. I did some training, bro. I did some high school coaching, bro, just to, like I said, I enjoy giving back to the kids, bro, because these kids are so talented, bro, and sometimes they just need somebody who understand them. And I'm still at that point where I can understand what they're going through with the high school and all the, you know, with everything that come along with it, bro. So I may end up getting back into some high school coaching here soon as well. So again, I like the kids, bro. It's all about giving back, bro, because they got so much talent and they got so much potential to get to where they need to get to. And right now, I think a lot of kids just don't have good mentors. They just need some good guidance. And I kind of understand, especially from the South Side, bro. It's a lot of kids that just, they need somebody who's going to at least feel like they care for them, bro. A lot of kids, I got a lot of kids like that. And again, they just want to feel cared for and feel like you actually want to be in their corner, bro. And they'll do whatever you ask them to do, bro. Like, again, I got some really good guys, bro. And again, I might get back here do some coaching as well soon. But I just enjoy watching the kids get better, watching them get to that next level, bro. And again, I just preach that, bro. You can literally, like, I don't think people understand what Miles Young used to say, Eric, bro. Use your influence in a positive way.
Yeah.
Bro, that hits, bro. That is a real thing, bro. Like, when you got your influence, bro, you gotta use it while you have it, bro. And you gotta use it to lead people the right way, bro. Because people follow, no matter like where we go, people gonna know who we are just because of what we did and where we went to school. So that's a real thing, bro. And I tell people, you gotta use that influence in a positive way, bro. And I feel like my influence is just leading the kids to be better, understanding how to get to the next level and understand what real work is about. And it's nothing is given to you, you know what I mean, bro? So I think that's kind of been my big passion, bro, of just leading these kids to, like, bro, it's so much, wherever we at right now, bro, life is so much bigger, bro. And this football can literally take you to meet and greet and see so many different things that you've never seen before. You know what I mean? It's all about, again, like my senior year, bro, they told me lock-in for 6 months. 6 months of lock-in can change your life. Can change your life, bro. I'm talking about those last 6 months, my senior year. Again, I was an old head, so it wasn't really no sky bar. I'm focused. We got Clemson, I'm focused. We got Ole Miss, I'm focused.
Bro, I was the same.
You know what I mean?
Year, bro.
Yeah, you focus, especially once you get to the back end. Like, you enjoy college by that time. You know what I mean? Like, as a fifth year senior. Again, I used to make fun of, like, the Nosas and all those boys because I came in like, well, y'all old. I turn around. I'm the old head. You feel me, bro? But again, I made sure, like, all my young, like, One thing about it, bro, all my boys, all everybody who played with me, all my youngest, bro, I made sure, like, I was never that guy in the room, like, who wouldn't give back, bro. I was always, like, I'm going to give you the gems. Like, I know, like, me and the coaches talk because I got those type of relationships and they look to me. But I know how to lead y'all boys to understand what they want. You know what I mean? Like, I was really good at that. And a lot of the boys used to lean on me for, like, you know, some guidance. Like, especially if people get hurt of or they not playing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, got the boys used to come, like, Javaris. All those boys, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I had established that in that room just because, again, I had some good OGs on my side, too. Like, Jermaine Whitehead, DeRon White, both of the boys. Like, you know, T-Bell. Like, I had some real Chris Dave. Like, I had some really good OGs. And I feel like, when it was my time to be the OG, I wanted to be like my OG. You know what I mean? Like I want my young boys to be like, bro, Josh was real. You know what I mean? Like that's all I care about. Josh was real. He gave me back the knot. Like he wasn't trying to down me. Like I just wanted the boys to be like, bro, Josh was real. 1-5 was real. And that's all I cared about, bro. And everything else, like again, my senior, bro, I played great. I still split reps with Javaris Davis. Cause he was good. He was that good. I'm like, bro, he gotta play. Like, he got to play. End of the game, if one of us hot, if you hot, go. You know what I mean? Like, I was that type of guy. Like, everybody going to eat. Like, it's nobody, it should be above. Like, if you hot, go ahead. The only person that split rush was Carlton because you stay your butt over there. We knew Carlton was going to be what he was going to be. You know what I mean? So, again, like, again, just being selfless, bro, and using influence, bro. Like I said, again, my senior year, I played with no carefree ball, bro. I didn't think the league was even in Hines reach. And to get there, bro, was a blessing, bro. Like I said, I took it for what it was and was able to play some good years. And again, you know, living out your dream, people take that as for granted sometimes, bro. We was able to make it to that as exactly. A kid. That's what you want to do and make 100%. It. Man, that's big. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not for sure. That's big time, man. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Just before we let you get up out of here, man, just really quickly, you know, just for Auburn fans out there, you know, aside from, you know, the big time plays and all of that kind of stuff, man, like, what do you want Auburn fans to remember about you?
Man, I love Auburn, bro. I may talk a lot of crap on Twitter. Yeah. Because we got to and we've been through it and we got to, you know what I mean? I think sometimes they get misconstrued. But I'm like, bro, as players, bro, we can do that because of 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears, different coordinators, bro. We just want the best for Auburn, bro. So again, I want people just to understand, bro, like I truly bleed orange and blue, bro. Everywhere I go, I got Auburn somewhere. My golf bag is Auburn. I got Auburn tags. Like I love Auburn, bro. And what Auburn did for me was truly special, you feel me? Like I said, I wouldn't change it for the world, bro. And I really appreciate Auburn. I even still, some days I go out and people still recognize me, bro. And I swear, still like shell shock to me that people are still remembering from almost 10 years ago, bro, what I did at Auburn, bro. So I think, like I said, I try to be a great influence and use my influence in a positive way and be a great person on and off the field. And like I said, bro, I appreciate Auburn fans, man. I think we got the best fans in the world, and I hope we turn this thing around so we can get on Twitter and talk as much crap as we want to, bro.
I'm ready.
You know what I mean, bro? And that's all I'm here for, bro. Like I said, I love Auburn, bro. I met my best friends there, bro. And like I said, those 5 years at Auburn, bro, was bar none some of the best times of my life, bro. So I appreciate the fans. I still appreciate the ones who come up to me. And bro, War Eagle, bro, for life, like orange and blue till we can't orange and blue no more, you know what I mean?
For sure, man. I appreciate you, dog, man. It probably been my favorite one I done did so far, man.
Appreciate that, bro. I appreciate it. You had Ryan, bro. You had some goats on here, bro. Oh my goodness.
I appreciate you, dog. This probably, like I said, my favorite one, man. It's been awesome. Chop it up with you, man. It's been a little minute since we chopped it up, man, for sure.
But so yeah, we definitely make sure we get some time on the books, bro, just to sit down and catch up, bro. Especially once the games and stuff come back around, bro. We'll definitely find some time to try to get all the Auburn boys who around the area just to link up, bro, and just to fellowship, bro. I think that'd be big to reconnect after all those years, bro, because everybody's going through life. But it'd be good to see those faces that you went to war with and who put that helmet on with you, bro. I think that'd be so good. So we'll definitely find some time, bro. You know how it is, man.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe, man, and make sure you tune in on the next one. And as always, War Eagle,
War down, my boy.